In the 1995 film The Usual Suspects, the identity of the mysterious character Kaiser Soze dominates the story. And at one point, when they're talking about this mysterious figure, when the character says, "The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist." Well, there's no pretending with this week's scripture readings here at the beginning of Lent. The devil makes an appearance in both Genesis and Matthew. The reading from Matthew is common for the beginning of the season of Lent. Just after his baptism, the Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness so that the devil might tempt him. Well, Jesus comes out of it all right. Just as Jesus' 40 days have concluded, ours with the season of Lent have only just begun. Lent, our 40-day, not counting Sundays, season is the wilderness. In the wilderness is modeled on Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness. He is shaped during this time in the wilderness. He is formed for the public ministry that begins as soon as his wilderness time ends. But first, according to Scripture, Jesus is led into the wilderness so that the devil might tempt him. And we are invited to surrender to the wild leading of the Spirit too. But I don't really want to follow the Spirit into devil tempting time in the wilderness. I think we've got enough wilderness right here in civilization. Thank you very much. And really, I'd prefer to keep on pretending that the devil or sin and the power of evil doesn't really exist. But the season of Lent is not a time of bad news that precedes a time of good news of Easter. Rather, it is a time of grace. When we and all people of Christ reflect on mortality and sin, as well as on the creative and recreative power of God by which we are saved. If we choose to engage this season, then we must be engaged by it. And that means that just as Jesus rendered himself vulnerable in that wilderness to learn about who he is and be shaped for ministry, we must render ourselves vulnerable to the reality of who we are as human beings and therefore to be shaped for discipleship. Christ, as both fully human and fully God, finds himself in the wilderness before his public ministry begins. And in the wilderness, he experiences very human challenges: hunger, fear, scarcity, and loneliness. In the wilderness, he is brought to the point where the offers of the devil become more and more appealing. So if our journey to Easter through the season of Lent is to match Jesus' experience, then we are to be led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And then in the wilderness, when we are vulnerable, the distractions of the world should fall away, allowing what is important to come into focus. Pastor Slatz Tool says about this, "Despite physical weakness, Jesus finds spiritual strength to hold fast to God. As the distractions of the world fade away, the things that are truly important come into focus, and the devil's diverting words lose all power. Perhaps one of the gifts of the angels that dwell in this wilderness is the opportunity to discover how courageous, how steady, and how faithful we have the ability to be." And so as we embrace this season and follow Jesus' lead, we can experience all that the wilderness has to offer us. The wilderness teaches us who we are and whose we are. The wilderness tests our strength and our faith. The wilderness shapes our identity and our call. The wilderness is a place to fail and get it wrong. The wilderness can be isolating and dangerous. The wilderness is a place of struggle, and the wilderness is a place of beginnings. For Jesus, the wilderness was all of these things. And while it may seem like that a place of isolation could only mean the end of things, it can also be the beginning. Just before he is led there, Jesus hears the absolute truth about who he is at his baptism. Remember? Just as Jesus came up from the water, the heavens opened up, and the Spirit descended like a dove on him, and the voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." That is who he is. And we can see that was the easy part. The harder part comes in the wilderness when he has to face down every vicious assault on that truth. When the memory of his Father's voice from heaven fades, and he has to learn how to be God's beloved in a lonely wasteland. Maybe we, like Jesus, need long stints in the wilderness to learn what it really means to be God's beloved. When Jesus resists the temptations in the wilderness, it reveals both who he is and who he is not. We are invited to find in Jesus' experience revelation of both who we are and who we are not. We're invited to find an image of what it means to be faithful in our own lives. The secret to resisting temptation, to keeping the tempter at bay, if you will, is holding on to that image, being faithful to our identity as God's beloved child, and clinging tenaciously to God's claim and call for you. A reading from Genesis shows us that the original parents of humankind were unable to resist such temptations, the seductions of the serpent. But that tragic story stands beside another story, the story of Jesus' lonely and painful resistance to the power of Satan. The devil in Genesis, in the garden, tempts the woman with the word of God. "Did God say to you that you should not eat from any tree in the garden?" And then in the wilderness, the devil tempts Jesus with scripture. So if you were ever curious about the likelihood of Satan running around quoting scripture, just read this passage from Matthew. The devil uses scripture, a mighty powerful weapon even when used out of context, to tempt Jesus when he is at his most vulnerable. But Jesus resists, which I suppose should come as no surprise. He is Jesus, after all. The church, on the other hand, has rarely been able to resist temptation like Jesus did. We can resist the temptation to command a stone to become bread pretty easily. That's not tempting. We can resist the temptation to call on God's angels to lift us up or catch us if we fall. That is not tempting. What is tempting is something else. We're often guilty of falling for the temptation to focus on the already part of God's promised kingdom without the not yet part. That is, we like to skip from Jesus' baptism straight to Easter. We like to skip over the whole wilderness part of Lent. We do it at Holy Week too if we're not careful, jumping from the hosannas of Palm Sunday to the alleluias of Easter without Good Friday, without the betrayal, abandonment, loneliness, arrest, torture, crucifixion, and death. Our wilderness temptations rarely look like the ones that Jesus encountered with the devil during those 40 days. We may think we're immune because those aren't the kinds of temptations that are tempting to us. And that's when we fall prey to the idea that the devil doesn't exist. But really, we fall prey to the idea that we are not vulnerable to the temptations that damage our relationship with God or that become stumbling blocks on our walk of faith. Really, the temptations we encounter are just as dark as Jesus, and perhaps more so, because most of the time, like Kaiser Soze, they don't come with a face. Episcopal scholar Marietta Anschutz writes about the things that tempt us. She says, "Temptation comes to us in moments when we look at others and feel insecure about not having enough. Temptation comes in judgments we make about strangers or friends who make choices that we don't understand. Temptation rules us, making us able to look away from those in need and to live our lives unaffected by poverty, hunger, and disease. Temptation rages in moments when we allow our temper to define our lives, or when addiction to wealth, power, influence over others, vanity, or inordinate need to control defines who we are. Temptation wins when we engage in the justification of little lies, small sins, a racist joke, a questionable business practice for the greater good, a criticism of a spouse or partner when he or she is not around. Temptation wins when we get so caught up in the trappings of life that we lose sight of life itself. These, she says, are the faceless moments of evil that, while mundane, lurk in the recesses of our lives and our souls. This season, we are invited to join Jesus in the wilderness. We're invited to surrender to the wild leading of the Spirit. We're invited to lose ourselves to the power of God's Spirit so that we don't lose sight of life itself. And for those of us who like to maintain at least the illusion of control, the idea of surrendering to something wild is unnerving, uncomfortable. But this surrender is part of trusting in what it means to be claimed and called God's beloved. It is unnerving but true. We can be both beloved and uncomfortable at the same time. We can be both beloved and unsafe at the same time. That is what Jesus learned during his 40 days in the wilderness. And as his 40 days have concluded, ours have only just begun. Now is the time to follow the wild leading of the Spirit into a season when we are keenly aware that we are both beloved and uncomfortable. Now is our time to be vulnerable and to follow the wild leading of the Spirit into the wilderness that is a place of beginnings, knowing that God, the one who gives us strength, is with us all the time. Thanks be to God. Amen.